good to be here on tonight as we come studying a portion of God's Word. We're always thankful and grateful to have the opportunity to look into the Word, learn things that will help us to be a better people, help us to think properly, help us to think righteously, and to challenge us in development to aid those who don't know Christ for the pardoning of their sins, to help them to be a better people as well. Hopefully, they'll come to Jesus as they need to in order to have their sins remitted. On tonight, we're going to talk on the subject, who is to be hospitable? Who is to be hospitable? When we think about this Bible doctrine, and it is a very important teaching in the Scriptures. And we have to ask ourselves, what does God have to say about us being a hospitable people? When you think about the word hospitable, when the definition means friendly or welcoming to strangers or guests, to be neighborly, accommodating, obliging. When you consider it from a Hebrew and Greek perspective, it means to be a lover of strangers, generous to guests, fond of guests. You see that in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2. Given to hospitality, a lover of hospitality. It comes from the root word philo, which literally means to be friendly, an associate, a companion. It ranges from one idea of receiving and entertaining to another idea of lodging and being a host. That's interesting. You see a wide range there as it relates to being hospitable. If you will, we'll start our study off in Proverbs 3 and verse number 9. In Proverbs 3 and verse number 9, there Solomon says very succinctly, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. The first part of that passage, Solomon, the wise man, has something very powerful and wise, of course, to say. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord with what? Your possessions. In order for one to be hospitable, one has to have something that he or she can be hospitable with. We understand that the idea of hospitality is seen in every dispensation. We're only going to look at a few, but turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 12, we come across a man by the name of Abraham or Abraham. Abraham is anticipating good news. Notice what the Bible here has to say, and we'll make some comments from verses, really, 4 through verse number 8. Then the Lord appeared to him by a terebinth tree of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them. He bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought. Wash your feet. Rest yourself under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread that you may be refreshed, or that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by inasmuch as you have come to your servant. They said, do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, here, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. A few things we want to take notice of as it relates to the subject at hand, hospitality. Here we see that Abraham, he sees these three men, and he goes into hospitality mode. He wants to make sure that they're well taken care of, washing their feet, making sure that Sarah made the necessary things in order to feed these individuals, to take a calf and to have it prepared by a young man. We see the idea of hospitality even in the old covenant. Friends, this is no new idea. When we stop and we consider this, this should be our mentality as well, that when we have guests or special people or strangers come in, foreigners, if you will, we ought to do our level best to be hospitable. Turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, chapter 18, we'll notice verses 1 and following. We'll catch up with Moses and his father-in-law, Jethro. This was before the giving of the law, according to Exodus 20, verse 1, and Galatians 3, verse number 19. Here we see a very interesting story. Notice the hospitality that is given to Jethro by Moses. And Jethro, verse 1, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back with her two sons, of whom the name of one was Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land. And the name of the other was Eleazar. For he said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Here it is. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with the sons, his sons and his wife, to Moses in the wilderness. Notice, Jethro came to Moses' place, if you will, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. Now he said to Moses, now listen to this. This is very important to our study. I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down, kissed him, and they asked each other about their well-being. And they went into the tent. Notice, they went into the tent. This is Moses' tent. Remember, Jethro came to Moses to where he was living out there in the mountain of God. Notice verse number 8. And Moses told his father-in-law, notice what's taking place in the realm of hospitality. All that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake. All the hardship that had come upon them on the way. And how the Lord had delivered them. Then Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing in which they have behaved proudly, he is above them. Now, let's stop here real quick. What does this have to do with hospitality? Here we find Moses inviting his father-in-law into his home, and they have their well wishes, their greetings, and as they are inside of the tent, they're talking about the goodness of God. What should take place in fellowship or in hospitality? When we bring strangers in our homes, whether they know God or not, we ought to be talking about the goodness of Almighty God. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 105, verses 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 105, 1, 2, and 3. Now, friends, you have to keep up with me. You have to keep up with me because you're going to have to be able to apply this here in a few days or a few years, hopefully right now. Notice what the Bible here says in Psalm 105, the first three verses. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his name. Let the heart of those rejoice who seek the Lord. So forth and so on. Notice what here the psalmist has to say concerning the God of heaven. He speaks good of God. He talks about his goodness. Friends, when we consider hospitality, we ought to use it as an opportunity, as Moses did, even to his own father-in-law, a priest of Midian, to talk about the goodness of God and how God delivered them. But we have more to say. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, and we're going to be looking during the time of Christ. We're going to look at Matthew, Luke, and John. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, here we come across Jesus, and he is in the house of Peter. You remember, Peter's mother-in-law was lying sick. Notice verse number 15, after Jesus had touched her, the fever left, and she arose and served them. You see the hospitality that was given to Jesus and the rest, if you will, because of some great gesture that took place. What should take place when we are given hospitality to people? We ought to serve. Look at Luke 19, verses 5 and 6. In Luke 19, verse 5 and 6, we come across Jesus and a familiar individual, Zacchaeus. In Luke chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, notice what your Bible says. You know the story. Jesus is walking. Zacchaeus is up in a tree. And here Jesus said, make haste. Today salvation is going to be in your house. Notice what the Bible here has to say in verse 6. So he made haste. He hurried up. He came down and he received him. How? Joyfully. He received Jesus joyfully. Don't you know that when we are receiving people, especially if they're hungry, if they're thirsty, if they're naked, if we receive them in our own homes as if we're receiving the Lord. Oh, I got Bible for that. You're looking at me funny, but I don't have time to give you that one right now. Go to John chapter 4. Let me give you this one. In John chapter 4, Jesus is paving the gospel way for Samaria. Philip is going to be preaching the gospel there one day, but Jesus has to do some groundwork. After Jesus does some groundwork with the woman at the well, we notice something in verses 39 through verse number 41. Notice what your Bible says. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, notice, they begged him. They urged him. They wanted to be a hospitable people because they heard the message of Jesus Christ. They heard the message of the gospel, if you will, the gospel coming in the future. Here, they heard his words. They urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Now, if the Son of Man, if the Son of God can stay in someone's house, you think we can? Well, that's good teaching right there. Notice verse 41. And many more believe because of his own word. That's interesting. It wasn't enough for Jesus to talk to the woman at the well. It wasn't enough for him to be talking to the men of Samaria. He stays 2 more days and many more believe after that. There are great benefits in hospitality. Now let's look at some hospitality in the New Testament. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. We'll come back to some of those little minor points that I made earlier, and we'll capitalize on those points. Paul here is telling the Roman brethren in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 13. He's telling them to give themselves over to hospitality. Remember what that word means, to be fond of guests, fond of foreigners, fond of strangers, fond of having people in your home. Notice what he says. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Now, the word given there is very important. But before I give you the definition of that, go to Hebrews chapter 13 and look at verse 2, and then I'll give you the definition of the word given. Because we have to put all of these passages together before we conclude. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, let brotherly love continue. Here it is. Do not forget to entertain, here's our word right here, strangers. For by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. The word given there literally means to run after eagerly, in order to catch a person or a thing. Now think about this in light of Romans chapter 12 and verse number 13. And let's read it with that definition in mind. Distributing to the needs of the saints, verse 13, running after eagerly in order to catch a person, to give hospitality. How many people, even in the church, are running after people to have them in their homes? Brethren, this is a Bible doctrine. I'm going to prove it here in a second. Look at 1 Peter 4, verse number 9. In 1 Peter 4 and verse number 9, notice what your Bible here has to say. 1 Peter 4 and verse number 9, Peter, as he is instructing the brethren who are scattered, notice what he tells our brethren there. Be hospitable to one another without murmuring or grumbling. Notice, here when we put it all together, let me read to you. When we put this all together, we must be eagerly running after people to demonstrate hospitality, forgetting not to be hospitable, using every opportunity towards one another to be generous and friendly. That's interesting. God desires for us to be a friendly people, and we use hospitality in order to do that. How do we know that this is a Bible doctrine? How do we know that this is a commandment that God has placed this upon every child of God? Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 2. Rick Popejoy, give me Titus 1 and verse 8. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 2, notice what your Bible there has to say. Here we find this in the qualification of elders. The qualifications of elders. And we know that if this qualification is a command, because of the other ones are a command, then this one here has to be adhered to and applied as well. Notice what your Bible says. Not given to wine, verse number two. A bishop then must be blameless. Talking about an elder. The husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior. Here it is. Hospitable. There's our word. Able to teach. Titus 1 and verse number 8. What does the Bible there say? Notice, here, Titus brings another aspect of this hospitality. Not only is he giving himself to hospitality, but he is a lover of it. He's fond of it. He's looking forward to bringing people in. Oh, this is usually facilitated through the wife, of course, right? Nothing wrong with that. She's supposed to help him out. That's why you ought to get you a good wife. Young man, get you a good wife that's going to help you with hospitality. One thing you don't want is to be a man that loves hospitality and your wife don't. I'm going to leave that alone. Evelyn, we might be looking for a place to go. To leave that alone. But to go to Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, friends, this is not something I'm making up. I'm not smart enough to make this up. This is a command, and if this is not achieved and developed, Jesus has something to say about it. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 35, notice what Jesus himself said. He said, for I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, there's our word, you took me in. Notice the response on the next verse. He says, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison, you came unto me. The righteous will answer and say, Lord, When did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Jesus, in verse number 40, says, and the king will answer and say unto them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. But notice in verse number 43, look how important this is. Our Lord said this. In verse 43, I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Drop down to verse number 45. Then he will answer them and say, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Friends, hospitality is a Bible doctrine. It is vitally important for every child of God to be developing this in their Christianity. In Romans chapter 16, notice verse number 23. It's all over the scriptures that we see hospitality being that which is edifying and encouraging. But I found something here that was very interesting. We come across a man by the name of Gaius. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 23. And notice what Paul here has to say. He says, Gaius, here's our word, but it's in a phrase, my host, literally one word in the Greek, two words in the English, my host, but notice, and the host of the whole church. It's interesting that Gaius was such a man of God that not only did he host Paul, but he hosts the whole congregation. Wow. We noticed something else about this great man. Turn your Bibles to 3 John. 3 John. Oh, it's all over the Bible, friends. I tell you, none of us smart enough to make this up. We can't. Which tells us that if we're going to be the people that God desires for us to be, we should desire to be hospitable. In 3 John, verse 1 and also verse 5, that's all we have time to read on tonight. But notice, verse number 1, the elder to the beloved Gaius. Paul talks about Gaius, and now John talks about Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Drop down to verse 5. Beloved, you do faithfully whatsoever or whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. There's our word right there. It's interesting that Gaius was a man that was very hospitable. Very hospitable. But here's that shouting point I was telling you about, Brother Rick. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 2. You know who is the greatest host of all? You guessed it. Jehovah. In Ephesians chapter 2, God is not going to require us to do something that he himself will not do and has not already done. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse number 12, you remember the Gentiles were outside of the covenant of God, Brother Royce, isn't that right? Remember, they did not have the Mosaic law. It was not given to them. Here we see that this was going to change. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse number 11, notice what your Bible says. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, Jew and Gentile there, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, here's our word, and strangers. They were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Hold on. They were outsiders. They were not in the covenant. Yet God is about to practice some great hospitality. He's inviting the stranger into his house, if you will. Notice verse number 13. This stuff gets good and gooder. That's G-O-O-D-A. Gooder and gooder. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Notice here, God is inviting the Gentile in by the way of Jesus Christ and his blood. Verse number 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself of one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now look at verse number 19. Now, therefore, remember what we just read. Remember, the Gentiles were outside. Yet God is inviting the Gentile in. Now in verse number 19, here's your point, Rick. You are no longer strangers. Why? I brought you in the house. Woo! That's good stuff right there, boy. You know what? That's why we ought to imitate our God. If God can bring Gentiles into the house, we ought to bring some strangers into the house. Oh, Brother Bono, this is 2018. We can't do that. You know, we talk like that. We better watch how we talk. You know, we were Gentiles. Every last one of us. There's not a Jew in here. We're Gentiles. Notice. And foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, if anybody knows how to be hospitable. It's the God of heaven. God knows how to be hospitable. Now, let's ask ourselves some questions. All of that was from the Bible, the Word of God. Let's ask some questions. How should we apply this? How do I apply being hospitable? What if I don't like people? You know, some of us don't like people, and I'm not talking about here in 9th and Main. I know everybody here loves people, right? How do I apply that? How do I apply inviting someone like Zacchaeus into my house? Or would I want to go and be in the house of a Zacchaeus? How do I apply that? What if I'm not the type of person who likes strangers? And really, a stranger is someone who is not part of your family. I want you to consider that. The Gentiles were not part of the family of God. Usually we invite our family, and sometimes that's limited. There's some family we don't mind coming over. There's other families you can come over, but we're watching you. There's other family members they can come over, but can you hurry up and leave as quick as possible? It is what it is. But friends, hospitality is still hospitality. Who is to be hospitable? Elders are supposed to be hospitable. Deacons are supposed to be hospitable. Preachers ought to be hospitable. Members ought to be hospitable. We ought to be a people who welcome others in that we may discuss the goodness of God. Friends, we don't talk about the goodness of God enough. Has God been good to us? The answer is yes. The very fact that we're able to breathe free oxygen, God is good. The ability to go to the grocery store and buy food, God is good. The ability to come and worship God without fear of molestation or even harm, God is good. Shouldn't we invite people into our homes, especially those who are not members of the Lord's church, and talk about the goodness of God and how he delivered us? Amen. We should. There was a comment made in Bible class this morning. And the comment was this. Sometimes we're too busy with our own selves to look to help anyone else in that way. Could it be in hospitality we're so busy that we don't have time for people to come over that may not know the gospel and just talk about the goodness of God? Not even opening up the Bible. We're just talking about how good God has been to develop a fear of the Lord. Psalm 36 and verse number 1. Proverbs 1 and verse number 7. Proverbs 28 and verse number 14. To develop that fear of God within them and to cause them to ask the question, how can I know God has been good to me? Friends, who is to be hospitable? There should not be one elder in the Lord's church, I'm talking about worldwide, that's not hospitable. Not one. Why? It's a qualification. There should not be one Christian, 1 Peter 4 and verse number 9, that is not hospitable. Why? Because God was hospitable to us. We were the Gentiles. He invited us in, and guess what? We took the invitation. And we went down in that watery grave of baptism, and we came up. Question. It goes back to the verse that we started off with, the Proverbs 3 and verse number 9. Be honoring the Lord with your possessions. The next time, maybe I'm talking more to our young people. The next time you buy a house, you buy something that is going to bring a benefit to your life. Ask yourself, will this benefit the Lord and be hospitable to those who need the Lord? That's a good question. You know, it would not be hospitable for me and Evelyn to go and buy us a one-bedroom apartment because we don't want people to come over. It'd be something different if we couldn't afford a two-bedroom or three-bedroom. But just so we don't have to have no one over, we're just going to have a one-bedroom apartment. That's the wrong attitude. God wants us to have the right attitude, that the things that we have, we're doing it for His glory and His honor. Hospitality. Invite someone over to your house. You just might change their life. We ought to teach our children. You need to learn how to invite, that people on the outside can be blessed as well. I hope you were challenged. I hope you were encouraged. I hope you see the Bible doctrine of hospitality. And friends, it's serious, because Jesus brought it up. And Jesus said that when I was a stranger, you took me not in. That's a serious thing. Maybe you're not a child of God. We want you to be. We want you to take advantage of the invitation of God inviting you into the family. There's an invitation, and God is a great host. One thing I love about Jesus, he's a good host. You know, if you come to Christ and you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, He always treats His guests well. He gives them all spiritual blessings. He gives them a hope to look forward to. He gives them a family that they can have the fellowship that they need, the encouragement that they need, that the rebuke and the admonishment that they need in order to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He gives them everything that they need. Believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Turn away from your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. But maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been hospitable. Maybe you just haven't thought about it. You know, there's nothing wrong with inviting people over for a cup of coffee. Next thing you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You're talking about Bible. There's nothing wrong with that. And let's make sure that we are a people who are positioned to be hospitable. As we sang this invitation.